The Counselor. Forget about legal counsel. Maybe Ridley Scott should have consulted with a different writer than Cormac McCarthy before making his latest movie.
Life is being in bed with you. Everything else is just waiting. I intend to love you until I die.
Me first.
Counselor!
My back's against the wall, man.
Money problems are serious problems.
I will set it up.
625 kilos, we're probably looking at 20 million.
I know why I'm in it. Do you?
It's a nice ring. Want to know how much it's worth?
I always thought a law degree was a license to steal,
but you hadn't really capitalized on it.
I'm really worried, maybe.
It's gonna be all right.
If you pursue this road that you've embarked upon, you will eventually come to moral decisions that will take you completely by surprise.
Counselor.
We've got a problem.
And the shipment, it's gone.
I had a call from our business partners. These people are out 20 mil.
They think we're all involved, don't they?
No. Just you, Counselor. You. They don't believe in coincidences. They've heard of them. They've just never seen one.
You're in trouble.
The Counselor.
A big shot lawyer with shady clients decides to be part of the shadiness. He has low life criminals and some kind of like higher end drug dealer clients. So he decides to get into bed with them and do this special delivery drug deal, bringing stuff from Mexico into America. And because of unseen forces, the drug deal is blown and he's held responsible. First, his orbit starts getting picked off with him as the ultimate target. He goes from like a flashy attorney to a desperate man on the run.
The big attraction here is, well, two things. I guess Ridley Scott directed it, but it's based on, I guess, the first actual screenplay written by Cormac McCarthy.
And the last.
And if this film has a problem, I mean, you never know the journey a film makes from page to picture, but the dialogue, the story, the characters. I was halfway through this film when the thought occurred to me, when is somebody going to say something I care about? I just thought it was never going to happen.
I just didn't understand the lawyer, the journey the lawyer took. I have no clue why he got into this drug deal.
Well, yeah, he's another guy we don't know anything about.
Don't know
about.
What's going on. I mean, you assume he's a cartel lawyer, which means he's probably getting paid a lot of money anyway. They say or they insinuate or something that this is going to be his one and only deal he's ever going to make. But I don't know why he wanted to make this one in the first place.
I don't either. The big question at the center of this film is, why am I interested in this guy? I have zero interest in him. I felt like every scene in the film, every room full of people, the cartel could have busted in, shot everybody in the room, and I would have thought, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't care about anybody.
I wish they'd break in and kill people before they delivered these mundane, metaphysical, nihilistic speeches about the futility of it all.
Every freaking character has, I've got a little story I would like to share with you, or have you ever heard this anecdote, or here is a peculiar fact, my friend. And like you say, they all have these big philosophical implications, or they're foreshadowing somebody's death. They might as well have a blinking neon sign saying, will be garroted by automatic device, you know, when they talk about
After
it.
After a while, it could easily be a Saturday Night Live skit. Okay, well, have you ever heard a story of a beheading? It's like, yeah. You know, and then somebody gets beheaded.
Yeah, well, you
know?
Almost expect the head to come bouncing into the room at that point. Well, golly, there's one now.
Have you ever heard the story about the snuff film? It becomes like a skit to
and,
me.
And then they
know?
Took this woman, they turned her into a prostitute. Oh my God, could that possibly be happening later in the film?
But
Javier Bardem, an embarrassing performance. I mean, laughably bad performance.
Before you go any farther, laughably bad. Yet he was the one guy, because I got some kind of entertainment value from him. I mean, I swear to God, he looked like Richard Lewis if he had stuck his finger in a light socket. You know, it's just the hair shooting back. I mean, he was so idiotic, he was unintentionally entertaining.
The huge problem with this film was the lead. Michael Fassbender is just so bad. You want somebody to come across as, okay, I gotta do this deal because I need the money.
Or I made this one stupid
mistake. I'm desperate.
I've got a chance to lead a life I want, and I'm going to roll the dice, you know? But I don't know what to get from this guy. He's a dud. He's a dull guy.
I have stood alone for years saying that Cormac McCarthy sucks. I don't care how many Pulitzer Prizes or Nobel Prizes or Penn Faulkner Awards he's won. His books are awful. I read No Country for Old Men. I couldn't believe I read the whole thing. And then I just threw it across the room. It was so annoying and bad, but yet kind of a bestseller and this acclaimed movie, which I couldn't bear to see. You know, the guy sucked. So he got enough power and juice to actually write a screenplay directed by a very talented yet questionable choice, Ridley Scott.
Here's the thing about Ridley Scott when I stop to think about it. I mean, despite the awful screenplay and despite the really bad characters and acting, all of his films are usually great to look at.
And they are, and this one was too.
And this one was too, but is supposed to kind of be about, you have these fatal attractions to things, you know, these desires you can't say no to, you know, and there's a lot of sexual stuff supposedly going on. And yet when I stop to think about it, Ridley is like one of the least sexy directors out there. He doesn't, you think about it, he doesn't do a lot of sex, and when he does, it's not particularly great. So in a way, I think aside from making the film look great, he's the last guy to pick for this kind of material, because he doesn't really do that dark driven stuff that well. This film has what is easily one of the stupidest scenes I've seen in years, where Bardem's out with Cameron Diaz, and he's supposed to have this desire for her that he knows is going to end badly, but he can't help himself, and she says she's going to have sex with his car, and she gets up on the windshield.
I have to interject, the scene doesn't stand alone. It's part of another long-winded Bardem speech. He's going into this whole setup, and then we finally see it in flashback.
Yeah, and then we see the silly moment that's driven him to this, you know, this desire he can't say no to. So she gets up on the windshield and she takes off her skirt or whatever, and she's pushing her vagina up and down across the window, and he refers to it as a sucker fish. And you sit there going, I realize this is supposed to be like dark and disturbing and just forbidden territory, but it just seems so completely idiotic. And again, Ridley's the wrong guy. I don't know who the right director is to pull that moment off, but it's not Ridley.
Ridley is asexual, but this movie was anti-sexual, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with Ridley's direction. It's all McCarthy's screenplay.
Let's talk about Cameron Diaz for a moment. From the moment I see her in her ridiculous little lady gaucho outfit, to me, she's the perfect example of someone who's been playing kind of nice, bubbly characters for most of her career, now trying to go dark and edgy. And I just found every moment with her almost laughable.
With a gold tooth.
Yeah, the gold tooth and the leopard spot tats. And oh my God, trying so hard.
She was so bad. No, she really was awful. I mean, that's another actress who just doesn't know which roles to pick. You know, you go from something like Bad Teacher, where she's supposed to be some comedy, to this. I mean, she's one of those actresses, you just don't believe her in a serious role.
And sadly, she was over the hill 8 years ago.
To me, this is maybe one of the worst cast movies this year, because I don't want to let Penelope Cruz off the hook either.
Oh, no, she's just nothing.
In a nothing role, she really is nothing.
I stand alone on Cormac McCarthy, and I stood alone on Penelope Cruz.
Well, I'd have to say, in this case, I finally joined your ranks, Lou.
I've never liked her.
Since I'm not getting anything from Fassbinder, I need something for the woman he loves and he's doing all this for, and it's this human zero, which is her, and it's just like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Cameron Diaz and Penelope Cruz, just two totally uninteresting actresses.
Not only that, but they're very key roles. If this film is going to work at all, those are two of the roles that have to work. But here's the usual caveat, for me anyway. The one person who I found watchable and kind of delivered this dialogue the best, again, was Brad Pitt. I'd have rather seen the whole movie about him.
Me too.
You know, I mean, he was the most interesting guy. He sold the idea of his stupid backstory. It would have been a more interesting film to me if he had been smart enough to go off and clean spittoons for, you know, monks, rather than just get dully garroted on the streets of New York.
I did like that scene where he's dying and he kind of accepts and goes, oh shit, you know, this bolo's around his neck, he knows what's going on. But again, that's already a death that's been explained before. You know, just like at the end when he gets the DVD of the death. It's
right.
Like, okay, and that's been explained before. Like, it's a snuff
you
film.
You should be handed a scorecard when you go, and it's like, yep, that one's
check.
Done.
Check.
Oh, still alive. Okay. I don't know what's going to happen here.
Cameron Diaz still around. Oh, ironic, biting ending. No check.
oh, yeah, I get it. It's all pointless existence, you know, beginning with this movie. What a freaking waste of time. I mean, you're never going to meet people like this unless you make your one deal, you know.
that goes bad.
And if you do, you deserve it. The only thing to come about it, the only good thing is it's really going to cripple McCarthy. You know, his screenwriting career will be over.
You are the world you have created. And when you cease to exist, this world that you have created will also cease to exist.